Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, October 27th. Got the big show here for you. We're going to preview the remaining 15 games. No buys this week on the slate. Hopefully, you got off to a good start last night. But let's dive right in. And the first game on the list for me this week, the Los Angeles Rams, Dallas Cowboys. I have Dallas favored 25.5 to 20.7 in projections this week. I'm going to tell you this. The Rams' backfield is a mess. Yes, Darrell Henderson last week. Yes, he did have 19 touches, 36 snaps, led the backfield, scored a touchdown, was a decent fantasy option for anybody who took the risk and used him. But Royce Freeman was still used, 12 touches, 26 snaps, looked better than Henderson. And perhaps the most important part of the equation, and I'm going to just pull this up right now just to make sure as I'm recording this here on Friday afternoon. Yes, Darrell Henderson's on the practice squad. See, the NFL rules, you can be elevated from the practice squad two times. On the third time, if you are elevated the third time, you have to either be signed or released from the roster. However, after you're elevated that first time, immediately after the game, you revert to practice squad. It's not like minor league baseball where you get called up. A lot of people say called up. You're not called up from the practice squad. You are elevated from the practice squad. Two totally different things. But regardless, semantics aside, he's not currently on the roster. Now, I do think he ultimately is elevated. However, I expect Royce Freeman to continue to be involved. I expect Myles Gaskin to potentially be involved this week and or Zach Evans, but probably more likely Myles Gaskin. And this is a really crappy matchup. Dallas is very good. Seventh fewest fantasy points per game to the position. 3.6 yards per carry allowed. This is a risky spot. If you have Henderson, I'm only using him as a flex as of right now, but he has to be elevated from the practice squad in order for us to even use him. Be aware of that. Pay attention. Don't just blindly start Darrell Henderson. Of course, my rankings will reflect any changes if we get them. By the time you're listening to this, this could be a moot point, but I will, of course, update at ftnfantasy.com. Otherwise, straightforward, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. Yeah. On the other side, okay, Tony Pollard. He has two rushing touchdowns on the season. They both came in week one. It's been a long time since week one. However, he's one of these guys who, by metrics, is underperforming, and that's not a bad thing. Like, yes, it's a bad thing because he hasn't scored the fantasy points for you, but in expected fantasy points, he's fourth among running backs. He's 11th in actual fantasy points. So what does that mean? It means that I expect upward regression. And yes, you can regress upward and downward. It means you're moving towards the average. I think his efficiency does ultimately improve as we move down the stretch. I like him as a buy low candidate. I like to stay the course with him if I have him in fantasy lineups as of now. I'm using him, obviously using CeeDee Lamb. The only other usable options, I think you could potentially stream Jake Ferguson. He's 10 and 13. And Dak Prescott, he showed us last week, he can be good in closer games. And I do expect this, even though the spread's 6.5, I expect it to be a closer game. Minnesota, Green Bay, Minnesota 21.4, Green Bay 21.1. So very close in this one. Kirk Cousins has been just fine without Justin Jefferson. Well, he was last week at least. And a lot of that is due to Jordan Addison. He has been really excellent. He has 6 touchdowns over his first 7 career games. That ties a franchise record over that span of time with some guy. I don't know if you've heard, we have to go really far back for this. Randy Moss. That's pretty good if you can tie Randy Moss for something. 1998, of course, liking Jordan Addison as a wide receiver two play until Justin Jefferson gets back. TJ Hockenson, not off the injury report, but back in practice, so he's good to go. It's a great matchup for the ground game. So Alexander Mattison, 22 among running backs in rankings. On the other side, Aaron Jones. All right, well, it hasn't been good since week one. Last week, he was actually out-touched 17-11 by A.J. Dillon. However, I still do have Jones as the higher ranked of the two. He's still more explosive. He is practicing, and we know that the backfield is going to be a timeshare with the two of them. I don't love the matchup. Minnesota's surprisingly good against the run, but I think he can use Aaron Jones as an RB2. Christian Watson, somehow not even on the injury report. Okay. He looked like he was in like tragic pain, but he'll play. He's a fringe wide receiver 3. I don't want to use Romeo Doubs if I can get away with it. Luke Musgrave got back in practice, but he is on the outside looking in at the top 12 tight ends this week. Jordan Love, QB14. Risk reward, obviously, with Jordan Love. Atlanta, Tennessee, the Arthur Smith revenge game. I have Atlanta 20.7 to 18.0. We do not know what happened really last week with Bijan Robinson, but I do know this. He's not on the injury report. So he should be fine here. I know Bijan managers who got burnt by him last week are going to be reluctant, but I have him to RB15. It is a tough matchup. Tennessee defends the run really well, but he's still a top 15 option. Drake London is usable this week. So is Kyle Pitts. Desmond Ridder, not so much. I'm going to fade Jonnu Smith this week, but I don't hate him in deeper leagues. Like if you're trying to bounce back and forth between two tight ends, I don't hate him. On the other side, it's going to be a mess. No Tannehill, so we're going to see Will Levis. We are also likely going to see some Malik Willis. That puts a major damper on things here for DeAndre Hopkins in particular. I'm at wide receiver 40. Derrick Henry, a really tough matchup. Atlanta's been very good on the defensive side of the ball, especially against the run. I only have him at RB16. By the way, if, in fact, Will Levis does start and throws a pass, he will be the first Kentucky quarterback to throw a pass in the NFL since Jared Lorenzen, the late Jared Lorenzen back in 2007. That dude was a freak of nature. He had some of the best nicknames out there, the round mound of touchdown, the Pillsbury throw boys. They were incredible, and fond memories of him, man. Anyway, it's a tough spot for Tennessee. Very few usable options there. New Orleans, Indianapolis. New Orleans 21.8 to 21.1. Alvin Kamara popped up on the injury report early in the week with an illness. He got back to limited. I have no concerns here with him. We do know Jamal Williams should be used a little bit more here, but Kamara is averaging 26 touches per game since returning from suspension. This is a very favorable matchup as well. Seventh most fantasy points per game to running backs. So Kamara is a top five play. I don't think anything's going to come of the speeding incident with Chris Olave. They did release the dashboard cam footage. It's clear he's sober. So like, he just was a bonehead for speeding. I mean, that happens, especially. Hey, I'm glad that a lot of people don't know how much of a bonehead I was in my 20s. Yeah, it was stupid. It was dangerous. But I don't think anything's going to come from it. Hopefully he learns his lesson to just not speed, you know. Anyway, wide receiver 16. Taysom Hill could be streamable this week. I actually have him at tight end 12. He has been used so much more in the passing game and honestly looks really good there. Now the question is, do they use more Juwan Johnson if he is back, in fact, for this game? On the other side, Jonathan Taylor. All right, so here's his touches since he's returned from the PUP. 7, 13, 21. Okay. By that math, what's the next number in the progression? It's 31. I don't think so, though. I don't think he's going to go 31 touches. However, I do think that the scales are going to continue to tip towards him. I have him at RB13. It is a bad matchup. New Orleans defends the run well. Zach Moss isn't going anywhere. It's still going to be a timeshare, but Taylor's the lead. Zach Moss, RB30. He was banged up earlier in the week, but he looks like he's going to play. Don't get too far out over your skis with Josh Downs. Like, I love Josh Downs for DFS. DraftKings, he's 4,800. Great price point. For season long, he is still a wide receiver 4. One of the classic mistakes that a lot of people make in season-long fantasy football is they see a player's ceiling, and then they assume that's their midpoint. Like last week, that was Josh Downs' ceiling. He's not going to reach his ceiling every single week, and maybe he does this week, but I don't want to bank on that in season-long fantasy football. I want to play his midpoint. Now, DFS, of course, I want to play their ceilings, but we're playing different games. So Pittman, a wide receiver 2 play, not the best matchup for him, but he's still a wide receiver 2. Downs is more of a flex option. Moving on to New England and Miami. Miami 27.3 to 19.0. there really isn't much here in this game. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Like, Stevenson moves back to flex territory. Kendrick Bourne is a fringe wide receiver three, and that's it for New England. As far as Miami is concerned, we're using all four of them. So Tua, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Raheem Mostert. Hill is good. He's going to play. Like, there was some concern after Wednesday. He's going to play. Jalen Waddle is good. I have him at wide receiver 12. Mostert, I have at RB 14. So my main concern with him is I do see them, like, it's not the injury stuff. It's they're managing his reps. Like, they're going to make a push this year. They need that backfield relatively fully stocked, right? And that is Mostert. That means Achane when he comes back. That means Jeff Wilson, who could be more involved this week as well. So there's a little bit of a short-term cap on Mostert. I've heard a lot of people selling on him. I don't think that's the worst idea. I'll be honest with you. We're two more games away from Achane. Now, their bye week is in there, but still two more weeks away or games away from Achane coming back. I don't think it's the worst idea. I really don't. That's straightforward, though. Jets, Giants, another straightforward game. 20.1 to 18.0. The Giants are favored in my model. As far as the Jets are concerned, Breece and Garrett Wilson. And, man, do I love Breece. So, right now, he's averaging just under 6.1 yards per carry over the first 13 games of a player's career. That's the most we've seen since 1970. That's absolutely outrageous. It's so good. This is a great matchup as well. You have third most rushing yards per game allowed to backfields by the Giants. So he's a top 10 play this week. Barkley is not top 10, but he's 11. Okay, 92.8 scrimmage yards per game this season. He has three touchdowns in four games played. The Jets are a good defense, but believe it or not, they're actually the number 8 fantasy matchup for running backs. So I'm not too worried here. Daniel Jones not going to play. Tyrod Taylor is going to play. They look better with Tyrod Taylor. In fact, Brian Daboll won't give a timetable for when Daniel Jones is going to return. Now, I don't know. Like, we could read into that, of course. I'm not going to read into that right now. But it is interesting because I am not the only one who has seen the Giants look better with Tyrod Taylor under center. They don't look amazing, but they at least move the stinking football, right? And Darren Waller has looked really good over his last three games. Two of them have been with Tyrod Taylor. He's tight end 6 this week. Not bad at all. Jacksonville, Pittsburgh. Jacksonville 22.6 to 20.2. They are road favorites. They're favored by 2.5 on sportsbooks. I have them at obviously 2.4 point favorites here. But this is a great spot for the passing game, believe it or not. Now, let's be clear. Pittsburgh lays the wood in the pass rush. So you got to get the ball out relatively quickly. But their secondary is not that good. And I talked about it yesterday on the wide receiver cornerback podcast. So I actually like Trevor Lawrence in this spot as a top 12 play. I do prefer Christian Kirk over Calvin Ridley, but I think the Calvin Ridley season-long managers can use him as a wide receiver 3. You get a little bang for your buck there. The problem with Trevor Lawrence, like, he's been great. This 4-game win streak, he has over a 70% completion rate, right? But Travis Etienne is scoring all the touchdowns. That's the only problem. He has 2 touchdowns in each of his last 3. By the way, the last time we've seen a running back score 4 games in a row, score 2 touchdowns 4 games in a row, LaDainian Tomlinson, he was pretty good back in 2006. That was a pretty good season. So it has been quite some time, and that shows you how historic the performance here is from ETN. But I obviously loving him, but loving Lawrence here as well. On the other side, it has been 84 years since the last time Najee Harris had 100-yard rushing. That can't be right. All right, it's a stupid Titanic quote. Whatever. Shoot me. It's been 23 games. It might as well be 84 years at that point. And he's still in a full-blown timeshare. I can't trust him as anything more than a flex option. George Pickens clearly ahead of Deontay Johnson. I actually have Pickens as a top 20 option. Over his last 5 games, he's averaging 92.8 receiving yards per game. He has 3 100-yard performances over that span. So pretty impressive stuff. Out of George Pickens. Moving on to Philly and Washington. Philly heavily favored here, 25.2 to 18.7. AJ Brown, I mean, come on, man. They struck gold with that trade. Since he joined the Eagles, he has 2,305 receiving yards. So that's since the start of the 2022 season. Since that time as well, the Tennessee Titans wide receivers, all of them have 2,384. So barely more than he has. He enters the week trailing only Tyreek Hill in receiving yards. He has five straight games with 125+. It's been awesome. But you don't need an excuse to start him. I'm using this more as a lead-in to, okay, Devontae Smith. I get your frustrations. Totally. And he has now become more of a boom or bust option. I thought we were going to see more closely what we saw last year, where he wasn't boom or bust. He was a front-end wide receiver, too. But that's not really the case. So I don't think we can trust him as anything more than a wide receiver three. He's at 30 among wide receivers in my rankings for this week. On the other side, Sam Howell, man, it has been a weird season. He's been sacked at least four times in every game. He's on pace for the second most sacks taken in a single season in NFL history. And, well, he's also been a quarterback one a bunch of times in fantasy. I don't get it. I don't think he will be here, but he played well against the Eagles last time. I'm at quarterback 17. I can't use him as anything other than a super flex option. But there's enough there that I do trust Terry McLaurin as a wide receiver three play. I'll be careful with Brian Robinson in this one. The Eagles are the worst matchup for opposing running backs right now. Just 50 rushing yards per game allowed to opposing backfields. Yikes. Houston, Carolina. Houston 22.5 to 19.4. CJ Stroud rolling. He's a top 12 option. Loving Nico Collins. Actually, I have Tank Dell at wide receiver 36 as well. But the bigger thing here is the backfield. So 1 week can be a fluke in the NFL. 2 weeks is a trend. I don't know if Devin Singletary is going to keep the lead. He was the lead the last time we saw him, but then every other game, it was clearly Damian Pierce. So here's what I'm doing. If I had to use one, if you said, Jeff, you have to use one, you can only use one, you have to use one. I'm going to use Damian Pierce, but not as anything more than the flex option. However, if I rostered Devin Singletary, like I didn't pick up Devin Singletary this week to use him, or last week to use him this week. I picked him up to get ahead of the curve in case he actually is taking over in that backfield. See, this is the thing about waivers. When we're picking up guys at like 1, 2, 3%, 5% at the most, we're picking them up usually to get ahead of the curve. Because if we aren't ahead of the curve, like let's say it happens. Let's say Singletary blows up again. He's still fairly widely available, but let's say like he's the lead and he puts up like, this is a fantastic matchup. So he puts up like 100 yards on the ground, scores a touchdown. He's like RB8 for the week or something like that. You know how much he's going to cost next week? It'll be 20%. Like at a minimum, 20%. And you'll probably have some ding dong in your league spend 50% on him. So instead of that, we picked him up at 5%. Yeah, we can't use him this week. He's on our bench, but don't go dropping this dude. On the other side, similar situation, but we do know that it's going to be, like Frank Reich already told us it's going to be a committee. So Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders, they're both flex options for me. If I had to choose one, can only choose one, have to choose one, it's Chuba Hubbard. I do think we're seeing we're going to see close to a 50-50 split. Hubbard has a higher ceiling. That's why I choose him, but it's darn close. Moving on to the next game. Cleveland, Seattle. I have Seattle 20.6 to 17.6 on the Cleveland side. First and foremost, PJ Walker is going to start. That puts a damper on things for folks like Amari Cooper, who's really just a wide receiver three play. The backfield. If you haven't seen already, guess who practiced today? Jerome Doubtful Ford. That's why I would be really careful. Like, early in the week, like that designation of doubtful that you saw on like ESPN and Sleeper and all the, that's a made up designation. That is not the official designation. Unless we heard the coach say, like, for example, when Matt Eberflus said Justin Fields is doubtful to play, okay, that's a designation. But nobody ever said Jerome Ford was doubtful. Nobody did. And you know what he is now? He's questionable. That is an official designation, and it almost always comes out after the third practice of the week for these teams. So he is questionable. Could he play? Possibly. If he plays, are we using him? That's going to be tough because this isn't exactly a fantastic. It's a neutral matchup. But if he plays, I would expect to see all three, him, Kareem Hunt, and Pierre Strong. The best case scenario, honestly, is, well, unless you have Ford, but it's Ford doesn't play. Well, I guess it's not that bad because then you know what you're doing. You're not using him because then I would use Kareem Hunt as a back end RB2. On the other side, Kenneth Walker, I do not have a Friday report on him yet, but he was not practicing yesterday. And so what do we do here? If he does go, he's top 10. If he doesn't go, then you will get Zach Charbonnet as the lead back. The only problem is he's not quite to Walker's caliber. So I would say more of like a top 20, but not top 15 option at running back. Wait and see on that one. Wait and see on Tyler Lockett as well. He is banged up. If he doesn't go, then Jackson Smith and Jigba would move into like wide receiver three territory. DK Metcalf would move up to wide receiver two territory. Kansas City, Denver. Kansas City 27.6 to 20.3. This game is straightforward. Using Mahomes, Kelce, Pacheco, duh. Not on Rashee Rice. I don't know if game script is really going to promote using him as anything more than a flex. As far as Russ is concerned, he should have the ability to play in garbage time. So I am at quarterback 13. Javonte Williams ran hard last week, RB 20. Waiting and seeing if Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy will be traded before the deadline, but I don't think that happens until after the game because the deadline's not until early next week. So they can be used as flex options. Baltimore, Arizona, Baltimore 27.6 to 18.1. Lamar. Loving how he's playing right now. Quarterback two. He did move up a spot in ranking. Zay Flowers is a big part of it. He's been excellent. He's at wide receiver 14. I am also willing to use Gus Edwards as a back end RB2 this week because of the matchup. The Cardinals are the number four fantasy matchup. Opposing backfields averaging 111.7 yards per game on the ground against the Cards. As far as Kyler Murray is concerned, something very rare happened here. He was removed from the Week 8 injury report, but he's still on, or should I say designated to return. Like he's not on injury reserve technically, he's designated to return. He has not been activated yet as of right now. Like maybe you're seeing this and he's already been activated. Here's what I'm doing. If he is starting, I'm not going to use him in one quarterback leagues, but I do think he'll be top 20, so he'll be usable in Superflex. And then we'll see what we have from there. He'll be an improvement over Joshua Dobbs, who I have at quarterback 25. So that's all we can do. It'll help Marquise Brown a little, but he'll still be a wide receiver three. Trey McBride won't be usable. And Amari DiMercato actually is flex worthy this week. You know, the touch volume, the snap volume last week was encouraging. Cincinnati, San Francisco. On the Cincinnati side, it's very straightforward. Using Burrow as a top 10 option. Jamar Chase, obviously. Joe Mixon's more of an RB2. It's a tough matchup. T. Higgins is volatile now. Like, we're in, like, Gabe Davis territory with T. Higgins. Boom or bust. Any week he could boom. Any week he could bust. So he is wide receiver 31. All right. Brock Purdy. He was limited yesterday. He could still play. If he plays, he's a back-end quarterback one. You know, quarterback 12, roughly. If he doesn't play, Sam Darnold is a front-end quarterback, too. I have him at 15. I ran the model with both of those guys in there. Otherwise, we know, regardless of who's under center, you're using McCaffrey, Ayuk, and Kittle. Debo will not play in this game. Chicago and the Chargers. On the Charger side, it's really straightforward. With the exception of Joshua Palmer, we're using the usual suspects, but Palmer didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday. If he doesn't go, Quentin Johnston could be a wide receiver three play. Check back on rankings if that is the case. We won't see Justin Fields. Okay. We will see Tyson Bagent. Okay. Doesn't hurt DJ Moore for me. Deontay Foreman was the number one fantasy running back last week. He was excellent. However, Roshan Johnson coming out of concussion protocol and will be on the field this week. So we have to be careful with this one. I'm not going to use Foreman as anything more than a flex option. I'm not going to use Johnson this week, but I think the genie's out of the bottle with Foreman after that performance. You kind of have to keep using him if you're Chicago as an early down guy. So as such, you know, yes, Johnson does put a cap on what he can do, but he is at least flex worthy. He looked really good last week too. I mean, it wasn't just like that wasn't a fluke. We've seen it out of him before. All right, let's round it out. Vegas and Detroit. I have Detroit 25.7 to 19.9. Josh Jacobs, the efficiency has been pretty rough, and I don't think it's going to get any better. The Lions are really good against the run. Third fewest fantasy points per game to opposing backfields. 56.1 rushing yards per game allowed to the position. Yikes. But Jacobs sees enough volume that I do have him at RB12. Jimmy G will be back, which is better for Adams and Jacoby Myers for that matter. On the other side, straightforward, like I love Jared Goff here. He's a top 10 play. I love Amon-Ra, of course. I love Sam Laporta. But what about the backfield? Well, I don't have anything more than the first practice of the week for David Montgomery. Ribs, he did not practice. Will he practice today? I don't know. If he gets limited, then he's trending towards getting back on the field. I don't think that happens, though. But here's what we're doing. If he doesn't play, Jahmyr Gibbs is a top five play. 21 touches last week. He was fantastic. If he does play, Montgomery's a top 12 option. Gibbs slides back to flex territory. There it is. All right, I'm going to keep things updated over at FTNFantasy.com for you. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Enjoy the football this weekend. And, of course, I'll be back on Monday for another edition of the pod where I break down my biggest takeaways from Week 8 fantasy football. Catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.